Translation. Lord Brahma said, "My dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life. For in the human form of one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in the human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode, it is to be understood that he is very much affected by the influence of the external nature." In response, please. Lord Brahma said, "My dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life. For in the human form, one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in the human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode, it is to be understood that he is very much affected by the influence of the external energy." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Brahmaji condemns very vehemently the condition of the human being who does not take interest in the personality of Godhead and his transcendental abode, Vaikuntha. The human form of life is desired even by Brahmaji. Brahma and other demigods have such better material bodies than human beings, yet the demigods, including Brahma, nevertheless desire to attain the human form of life because it is specifically meant for the living entity who can attain transcendental knowledge and religious perfection. It is not possible to go back to Godhead in one life, but in the human form, one should at least understand the goal of life and begin Krishna consciousness. It is said that human form is a great boon because it is the most suitable boat for crossing over the nescient ocean. It should be nescient. The spiritual master is considered to be the most able captain in that boat, and the information from the scriptures is a favourable wind for floating over the ocean of nescience. The human being who does not take advantage of all these facilities in this human life is committing suicide. Therefore, one who does not begin Krishna consciousness in the human form of life loses his life to the influence of the illusory energy. Brahma regretted the situation of such a human being. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So this is a description of how Lord Varaha, the born incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared to perform a particular pastime. When the Supreme Lord appears in this world, he appears for a purpose. Well, many purposes, but one specific purpose. And at that time, the preaching was such that he appeared in that form, and it was necessary to lift the earth from the Garbhadak ocean. Lord Brahma had become a little inattentive to his service, actually, and he was interested in populating the universe. And so then Lord Varaha came, Hiranyaksha came and took the earth into the lower regions, into the nether regions of the universe. And so Lord Varaha appeared on behalf of the demigods to rectify the situation. He was in the right form. A boar is always in a dirty place, so the bottom of the universe is a dirty place. Bottom of the ocean is a dirty place. All the refuge goes there. And Vidura speaking to Maitreya, or Maitreya speaking to Vidura, sorry. And he's explaining that, and Vidura's asking one question after another, and he said, you know, where did Hiranyaksha come from? Why did he need to come, the boar incarnation, to lift? So then he starts explaining about the Kumaras are, you know, direct sons of Lord Brahmaji, and they were impersonalists. They weren't actually devotees as such, at least ostensibly they weren't, but apparently they were not devotees, they were impersonalists. And so impersonalists, they're Brahmanandis. Brahmanandis means that they can actually travel in the Ramanda. And they can even, Kumaras were traveling everywhere. And then one day they decided to travel to Vaikuntha. We were having so much trouble trying to get to Vaikuntha, right? So what level were they on? They thought, yeah, let's go to Vaikuntha today. So they went, and they went through one gate, through another gate, and then they went to the seventh gate, right? And there was a giant Vijay. And somehow or other, they developed a little bit of animosity towards the Kumaras for some reason. So they put their what they call them, the lances across. No, you can't come in here. And the Kumaras thought, what are these two guys doing in Vaikuntha? They're supposed to be actually assisting us to see the Supreme Lord. Why are they stopping us? And so they became angry. And they cursed the two gatekeepers to come to the material world. And they had three births, as one of them was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So that's how Hiranyaksha appeared on the scene. So now, you know, it's speaking, and this is what's happening now. It's speaking about the nature of Vaikuntha. You know, it's something we can't even imagine. We hear descriptions, but it's beyond our comprehension to really understand. It has to be experienced. And even Lord Brahma, you know, he lives for 311 trillion years, is it? It's not about lifetime, that is it? 311 trillion years. And what's a trillion? A billion, is it? Or a million billion, something? Eh? 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 That's an American, that. English is a billion. A billion is a million in the English calculation. It's 1,000 million in the American calculation. Right? Anyway, it's a long time. And so, you know, he's got a body which, you know, it's made of intelligence. How do you see a body of intelligence? But still, you know, he's in the material world. And even he's desiring to come and take a body like this. Can you imagine? Who wants to take a body like this? I mean, when you're like 16, you know, 26 is not bad. 36, a little bit cranky. 46, you know, you've gone over the hill, haven't you? You know, you're starting to slide down. Then you realise, you know, what have I got? And you, when you look in the mirror, you don't want to look in the mirror anymore. So Lord Brahma, he actually decided that, you know, he was saying that all the demigods, and they're not quite as opulent as Lord Brahma, but they all want to wait to take birth here. Because, you know, we've got such a... It's a balanced place. Everything's balanced. Not too much happiness, not too much distress. And therefore, you know, what's the qualification for taking up devotional service? Not too much happiness, not too much distress, right? In fact, you know, like, we're not jnanis, we don't want to get rid of material happiness. You know, then what happens if we become jnanis? The heart becomes like, stone. Austerities make the heart grow fonder. No. Austerities make the heart go yonder. Make the heart go hard. And we become hard with others as well. So, you know, we keep the austerities to a minimum. Prabhupada was once on a morning walk with one of his disciples, and he was walking with his shoes off, and Prabhupada looked at him and says, "There's enough austerities without taking your shoes off, you know, in this movement." And what's the other one? He says, "Gyan." Gyani means I don't want to, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, this body is not worth, it's not really worth trying to satisfy. I've tried for so long, and now I want to completely give up association with it. It's like that when we come to a devotional service, isn't it? Okay, let's get into it. We tend to go a little bit far, you know what I mean? Well, I did anyway. And so, you know, we don't try to enjoy too much. When we become a devotee, we've had enough experience to understand that too much sense gratification, does it work? It gets worse. You see these big film stars and, you know, Hollywood. Is Hollywood still going on? Is Bollywood now taking over, is it? Bollywood and Hollywood. So, you know, they all finish up like, I was watching, you know, when you're on your mobile and it's bang, something comes up to attract your attention. So I clicked on it. Don't do that, you know. But it was taking us to, you know, dare I say it, Michael Jackson. You know, he was a really big star when he was like 10 years old, something like that. But he wasn't satisfied. He grew up, he had so many face changes. Tried to change the colour of his body. And then he died young, in misery. So this is how anybody who tries to enjoy this world, they're gonna suffer like anything. To the degree we try to enjoy it, to that degree we'll suffer. So a devotee is like, he takes what karma's coming and he uses it in a positive way, that's all. He doesn't try to negate things, he tries to use them in Krishna's service. This is a qualification. And, you know, later on in that chapter it says that, after a while he realises he just can't give things up like he thought he could. You think so? You know, there's actually, you know, attachments hang on. Is that right? So what do you do about it? You know, what can you do? You can't do anything, can you? I keep trying to get rid of them. He talks about anishtita bhakti, doesn't he? Anishtita bhakti. It means, nishta means, but we are, maybe there's some nishta bhaktas here, yeah? But maybe we're actually anishtita. And one of them things is that he comes to the stage after some time that he's going to give up all sense gratification from today. You know, no more gulabjamans, no more mangalati sweets. Then for a few days it's like, and then can't do it. And so he learns to tolerate. That's the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. We've got to tolerate. I once saw a nice Back to Godhead magazine, a nice article. It was by Vishoka, actually, many years ago. She was talking about integrity. Integrity means to what's on the inside is shown on the outside, right? We're not hypocritical. Wholesome. Yeah? And she wrote a nice, she was saying, when we realise what's on the inside, she didn't say this, I'm saying this, when we realise what's on the inside, you know, we have to deal with it, we have to tolerate it, we can't get rid of it. So it says we should embrace ourselves with care and affection. Yeah? We accept who we are. We accept that this is my conditioning. Now let me try and work to get rid of it. Let me take shelter of Krishna. Let Krishna take care of it. And so we're talking about the, you know, so that place is, when we're actually able to do that, we start to get a taste for devotional service. This is, and kantha means anxiety. We're in anxiety most of the time. Is anybody in? Experience anxiety sometimes. Yeah? Anybody else? Just one, two. Everybody's in Vaikuntha, are they? Okay. Yeah, so that place without is Vaikuntha, and this is where we are now, Vaikuntha. This is Vaikuntha. This is a spiritual world. There's no Maya here, is there? Is there any Maya here? Externally they're in. Externally we're doing all the right things, but internally different. So anyway, the point is, in this verse, is that Lord Brahma's, you know, he's emphasizing the point that don't waste time in this world anymore. You know. Just use 100% in Krishna consciousness. Kamam archarek pragna, dharmam bhagavatam ya, dulabam manasan janma, tabhyatar ajutam artatam. This is Prahlad Maharaj, he's 5 years old. Can you imagine 5 years old? And he's preaching to his school friends that, you know, why are you wasting your time playing? He's even that serious. I mean, we can't do that necessarily. It has to be a gradual process. But in Bhagavatam, everything is stressed very much. It's always an extreme case so that it actually strikes home. And so he's preaching. And he says that in one verse, Sukham Aindriyakam Decha Deho Deha Dehinam. He says, this material body, he says, all species of life are trying to satisfy the senses. You know, when we see a beautiful woman or a handsome man, it's like we think that, you know, other species are also seen like that. You know, even lizards. Wow, look at that lizard. Oof. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're the same. He says, on the demic, he says, we're like frogs. to the demigods. They're so, you know, their opulence and their bodily beauty is so great that it makes us, it looks like frogs. And to invite in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, it says, you know, comparing the demigods to the gopis is like comparing frogs to the gopis, you know, to the... And so, yeah, from the very tender age of childhood, we should be practicing this process. Komara means... what does Komara mean? It means early childhood. Bit, yeah? Yeah. So let's see what we've got here. We've got a few notes here. So, yeah, Krishna's got a plan. When he comes to the material world, he's got a plan. And the plan is actually individual and collective. A collective plan for the material world and an individual plan for every single living entity. And so, what does Krishna consciousness mean? Let's have some feedback. What does it mean? At our stage. What was that? Put Krishna at the centre of everything. This is the answer, isn't it? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Yena tena pakarine, Krishna smarani vesha yet. Somehow or other, we have to remember Krishna. You know, this Varnashram system set in place so that we can work in a... But we're not part of that. You know, we're in between. Most of the time we're practicing Brahmacharya life, Sannyas life, Grihastha life, but we don't quite make it a lot of the time. So he says, even though we don't, somehow or other we have to, you know, use our situation in a positive way. There may be so many ups and downs, there may be so many things which go wrong, but we remain positive. And that's what it says in the later on in this 11th canto, in the 20th chapter, it mentions that point. It's all right, you've only got another 10 minutes and then we can take some prasadam, okay? So hang in there. This is the most important part of the day, you know. We're blasting kirtan, it's like, it's clearing all the gunk out, you know. But then it's so we can actually hear something. I mean, I'm not saying that this is a quality class, but, we, you know, we should at least go through the motions. You know, give me a break. So, in that verse it says that, how does a devotee think? You know, we're talking about, we can't give up sense gratification for some reason. You know? It's there permeating the mind. And it gets worse sometimes, have you noticed? Yeah? And so he says we should, what does Krishna say? And he knows that I'm suffering because of this. And Krishna says, go on suffering, but be happy. What does that mean? Can you be happy about suffering? Can you? You can't you, in devotional service? You can be happy because you know there's a higher goal. People are being happy about suffering in the material world, aren't they? They're working all week. I think, don't worry, tonight I'll go out for a pint or something, you know. Or at weekend we'll go down to see the latest film or latest show or go on the town. You know, it's keeping them going. So we should be like that. We should have that vision, you know, that Vaikuntha vision that it'll soon be over. Well, he doesn't say that here, does it? Does it say that here? I don't know whether I should repeat this sentence, but it's really seems like a downer. Shall I repeat it? Yeah, or do you want to take prasadam in peace? The human being who does not... that's all right. Let's have a look. Oh, that's it. It is not possible to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Oof. What do you think to that? Has anybody got any counter arguments?
In the Prabhupada's memories, Prabhupada said, if you achieve perfection, you take birth in Brahma Vrindavan, where Krishna is having his pastimes. Then after that birth, you go back to Godhead.
Is he speaking about this, do you think? You know, that's advanced. That means we're completely pure and we're capable of associating with Lord Chaitanya. So we're actually already back to Godhead. We're just getting trained up, that's all. We're getting trained up in the Lord's pastimes. Just speak. Give me the microphone.
Prabhupada said, he said, all my disciples were initiated. They go back in three lifetimes.
Three lifetimes?
Yeah. And generally, Prabhupada said, yeah, it takes at least three lifetimes.
For everybody?
Well, if you initiate, if you're a devotee and you're practicing, if you're not practicing, then that's another thing, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, he said many things, didn't he?
No, but generally, Prabhupada says, he did say three lifetimes.
Three lifetimes. Where has it said that?
It's mentioned. Where is it?
I know he was once sat on Vyasasam, Prabhupada, and he was saying, you have to be 100% pure to go back to Godhead. And he looked at the devotees and they're all like, you know. And then when he saw him, he said, okay, 75. 50%. And then he didn't say any more. He just got off the Vyasana and started walking out, threw his chudder over his shoulder. Then he looked round and everybody says, but I've got the back door key. And that's the thing, isn't it? We don't worry about that. We worry about Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He's called Mahabhadamyaya. We just have to serve Lord Chaitanya's movement and don't worry about that. If we try our best in this lifetime, that's all that matters. Trying to work out when we're going back to Godhead, it's not so... You know what I mean? It's like so... speculation, and on the mental platform. We are engaged in devotional service, that's the thing. And if we're engaged in devotional service when we leave this body, then, a path back to God is actually certain. It doesn't matter where we leave, well, it does to some degree, but, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was saying, Prabhupada said at one point, you're a really pure devotee. I mean, if the spiritual master says that to you, it must be true. And he left his body on the pencil, Gita Nagari, weren't it? And he said that he specifically desired to leave his body there because he was just showing the devotees that, Vrindavan is where our consciousness is. We don't have to leave our body in physical Vrindavan or what we think is in, just 90 miles south of Delhi. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he went to, as soon as he took sannyas, he decided to go to Vrindavan. And the devotees kept diverting him. And eventually they said to him, wherever you are, it's already Vrindavan, you don't have to go there. And so, we just have to be introspective about how we're developing the proper consciousness, that's all. And, we have to be introspective about what does Krishna want from me at this particular point in my devotional service? What is Krishna's plan for me? We look back and we can see Krishna's plan, right? Can we? We can see how we came to devotional service and there were things happened which we didn't actually organise them. And so there's something happening already. And if we fall in with that plan, then we'll actually make progress very nicely. Okay, so we'll go on to the next point. And also, another way of looking at it is that, you know, it's not dependent on the individual. It's dependent on a combination. Ananyas chintayantum am yegana ha pariopasate. Tesham nitya bayuktam yogakshemam bahamyam. That whatever we're lacking in devotional service, then Krishna will make up that difference if we're serious. Many verses, Tesham Satita Yuksam, Bhajatam Pridipurvakam. We serve Krishna with devotion, then Krishna will give us the understanding. So it's a, you know, it's a relationship that we're developing. And seeing Krishna in that relationship, seeing how Krishna's working in our life, then we can actually feel enthusiastic at every situation. When we don't see Krishna in the equation, that's when we become dejected or morose. Even when things are in reverse, things are not going so, or apparently they're not, they're still going well, everything's going nicely. Because it's part of Krishna's plan. When I was a young devotee, one devotee said to me, he said, wherever you are now, because I was in we're in a difficult situation. He says, that's perfect for you. Does everybody see like that? Yes, so basically Lord Brahma's making the point here that, you know, this is the only thing to do, is practice devotional service. Absorb ourselves. We haven't got very long left, you know, if 70 years, that's the average for this particular lifetime. Most of us have gone over the over the 70 years already. We're on borrowed time. So we might as well just really, this is the time, we're in the home straight. So we might as well just sprint, okay? So thank you for listening. And we can open up now, it's 8:30. If anybody's got any questions, you're welcome to ask.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your class. I was just thinking, this is quite related to my situation. You spoke a lot about the situation we might at first perceive as unrighteous, like it's not good for us, like we suffer, and this and that.
It's a little bit louder.
Yeah. So just to this point of suffering in a situation, now you are saying that any situation which we are in is arranged by Krishna and is good for us. So related to this, I was thinking just recently in my situation that sometimes the suffering comes when we have expectations from others. We expect certain behavior, and they don't act in such a way, and then we suffer. So how to deal with this, if you could?
Well, first part of the question is that, you know, I said that every situation is good for us, and it's arranged by Krishna. It's not necessarily arranged by Krishna, it's arranged by us, by the way we act. But the point is that that situation is, you know, this world's made for reactions and actions so that it counteracts and rectifies. So if we're able to understand that what am I doing wrong here, or what can I alter, then it's good for us. But we may have put ourselves in that situation, but if we're in Krishna consciousness, if we're chanting, you know, following the process, Krishna's helping in that situation to see it in a Krishna conscious way, how we can go forward from there. Yeah? And as far as other people, we can't even change ourselves. You know what I mean? So how can we expect other people to change? We can't. We have to tolerate. You know, that mattress bar should stick on. It's the first instruction. If we tolerate, then we leave ourselves room to see, you know, what's happening in life. If we don't tolerate, we become caught up in attachment and anger, and we become absorbed in what we want out of things instead of what we need to get out of the thing. Yeah? Is that all right?
Hare Krishna. In regard of hoping for the causeless mercy of some person, like a guru, in story of Prabhupada, said, I have a backdoor key. So this comes to be the same like any other religion, like, you know, like a Christian said, you know, accept Jesus and don't worry. So
wait a minute. Yeah. I'm not following. If you talk slowly.
When Prabhupada says, you know, I have a backdoor key. You know, I have a backdoor key.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I was disappointed, like, with this percent of 75%, 50%. And then this, you know, if you accept that, it's same, like, you know, Christian says, accept Jesus, don't worry, or you know, or you don't need to be proper Muslims, just be Muslim and you will save, or in this way, makes it,
you
know,
mean like the born-again Christians say, we're saved, even though they're doing all kinds of nonsense.
So in that case, you may fall in that trap, not trying, because we really have to try our best, and hope for mercy as well, of course.
Yeah, now, the thing is, you know, we have to keep devotees enlivened.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to be serious about devotional service. So if devotees think, you know, I've got no chance, that's not good, is it? We have to see that there's, you know, we have to see the next stage, we have to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's the whole process, is to keep seeing a way forward. And so Prabhupada saw the state of all, I mean, I'm assuming that's why he did it. I can't say, but you know, it makes sense that everybody's like thinking, I've got no chance. So he gives them some, you know, information that he'll actually enliven them again. They all went, hey! They were all ecstatic. So to get fully into devotional service again. It may be that, you know, he takes a bit more than Prabhupada being the backdoor key. But you know, it is actually dependent on the mercy of Krishna's representative at the end of the day. And Krishna's devotees, not just one representative, the mercy of the devotees. And so, we're going off the point a little bit now, but yeah, I mean, Prabhupada are expert with everybody at keeping them enthused. And if we lose his enthusiasm, then, you know, we'll slide back into material consciousness or even deeper into material consciousness. Yeah?
I mean, that's like, you know, one should, this is devotee's life, you know, even if he fails.
Even if he fails.
He should feel like, he should know what Krishna feels, you know, about his actions, you know, so all the time, whatever he does, he should know, oh, Krishna is not pleased with
Krishna
me. Krishna is not pleased with me, or Krishna is angry with me, or Krishna is happy with me. So in this way, all the time, like having like a measuring stick, Krishna, and then Krishna is always present nearby, if you take that. So and then life is blissful, even if you fail. You know, if you just always feel what Krishna feels about the action, your whatever you do. So in this way, on his Krishna consciousness, if one fails sometime, if he has this sense of, you know, asking himself inside, Krishna will tell you inside always, is he happy or not with you? So that's the Krishna consciousness. Regardless of our anarchists.
I couldn't fully understand what you were saying there, but anyway.
Mm.
Okay. I'm sure everybody else here. But anyway, Okay. Maybe you can...
Thank you so much for that joyful and inspiring class, Maharaj. So I was wondering, I have two questions. If everything is part of Krishna's plan and Krishna has a plan for us, does Krishna make his plan accordingly to what we choose to do in the moment? Or does he already have a full plan for our lives when we arrive on earth?
No, Krishna's plan overall is to get everybody out of the material world. Yeah. That's the overall plan. And depending on how we are conditioned, he's actually reciprocating with us. That's his plan. He's reciprocating to try and help us to become Krishna conscious. You know, it's not like... every moment we have a choice. And when we say Krishna's plan, it's an overall plan that, you know, becomes serious about devotional service and follow the process and techniques of practicing devotional service. And then he has to work with it. It's like, you know, say if somebody comes to the temple and you're an experienced devotee and they're just starting, you have to work with that person in such a way that they understand the process and they become enlivened about it. So Krishna's working with us like that also, and the spiritual master's doing that. Brahmanda Brahmate Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. He's in the heart. And when he sees there's a little spark of interest, he'll immediately give us some reciprocation. He'll send us to a devotee or a person who can take us to the next step. And then by working in the heart and through that devotee, he can actually help us to advance. So he's reciprocating with that. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Yeah?
Makes so much sense. Thank you so much. And I was just curious to know, because you said earlier that... you can leave your body wherever, just when you have your consciousness in Vrindavan, that's enough to go back to Godhead. So I'm wondering, why did Srila Prabhupada really felt that eagerness of leaving his body in Vrindavan? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good one, that. But, you know, it's quite obvious that we don't have to do that, because he's preached so much about the consciousness that we leave the body in. So he went back to Vrindavan. Does anybody know why he went back to Vrindavan, by the way? I don't know any specific reason. Anyway, we shouldn't worry about that, you know.
It's also about following your heart, I think, where you'd like to leave your body.
Maybe. What's that? Following your heart. Yeah, it'll be arranged. Don't worry about that. I know one Mataji, I was in the green ashram, the Russian ashram. Next door there was this Mataji, a Prabhupada disciple, and she was like leaving her body. And, in Vrindavan. And Burijan Prabhu were going and seeing her every day and, you know, what had happened is she got into that situation where she was leaving her body in Vrindavan. She was sick. She got cancer or something. And so she was going back to Australia for some treatment. And she was so sick that they won't let her on the plane. They won't let her on the plane, and she had to come back to Vrindavan. See what I mean? It weren't her plan. So we just have to work on ourselves, work on our Krishna consciousness.
Coming back to the point of going back to Godhead, in terms of the devotee's attitude, we see like in the Damodar pastimes, there's two fingers short. So one is mercy, and the other is the devotee's endeavor. So they seem to go hand in hand. That's one point. And the other is that in the Gita it says that there's no loss or diminution on this path.
There's no loss or diminution.
So whatever endeavor we make, that will be to our credit, and we can carry on from there. So you can go back in one lifetime if you can endeavor so sincerely. It may take more if you don't. So,
yeah.
But the point is that you can go forwards, and Krishna's promising that. So just perhaps you could make some comments on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to make the effort, but we're dependent on Krishna for the result.
And there's no loss.
There's no loss. You know, we can't lose. Did you ever see... Okay. Arjuna asked that question as well about the river and cloud. Remember that example? If I take the devotional service, I'm not successful. I'll lose. And I've left all the material life, all the material enjoyment behind. So I ain't got anything. But Krishna says, no. He says, whatever advancement you've made, then, you know, you'll actually carry on. Yeah, in the future.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. My question was, you know, in regards to how you were sharing that people don't change.
You have to speak up, Masha.
Is that okay? My question was in relation to what you were sharing earlier about how people don't change, so therefore you have to change. And for me personally, I'm kind of going through something where I'm working on myself so much. I'm like, shall I do this? Shall I do that? And putting it into practice. And the situation isn't changing. And I'm crying out to Krishna, like, please help me, because I'm not perfect. I don't know what else to do. And it's just really difficult. And I wonder, with regards to tolerance, I know we always say in Krishna consciousness, you know, learn to tolerate like a tree or whatever the line is. But sometimes I wonder, like, what is the line where Krishna is saying, it's time for you to walk away now. Maybe
it's
that's
what?
Your lesson. Maybe it's time for you to walk away.
Time?
For you to walk away from the situation.
What situation?
Like, as in whatever you might be going through, if it's extremely challenging and you're trying your best and you're doing what you need to do, but nothing is changing in that.
Who says walk away from the situation?
You say that. I'm wondering the lesson, because sometimes when it's not changing and you are doing your best to put your best foot forward or treating the person like they are Krishna and all of these things, but nothing is changing and actually that is harming you, what do you do then?
Yeah, so like you were saying, you have to call out to Krishna for help.
But he's not coming right now.
Eh?
I feel like he's not coming right now.
No, but it's sustained commitment which actually gets the result.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work at it over a period of time. And, you know, then Krishna knows we're not just fly-by-nights, we're just like fair-weather devotees. You know, and it helps us to appreciate Krishna and appreciate the process more by going through these obstacles. They're actually helpful. And we'll look back on them in the future as being, you know, big milestones in our devotional service. So, you know, we should... Our mood should be that if there's difficulty, then that's great. Because I know that I'm going forward. If there's no difficulty, we should get a bit worried, you know. Why is everything so easy? Am I drifting away, or am I a pure devotee? No, I'm not a pure devotee. You know what I mean? So yeah, the whole point is to come to the realization that, you know, I haven't got a clue. I can't do anything unless Krishna helps me.
Mm.
I'll tell you one story. It's not a story, it's just a little. The one devotee in Seattle, it was Dhanavir Swami. He'd just become a... Was he? No, it was Mahatma. He was a brahmachari in Seattle, in America. And he'd been a brahmachari for a whole year. Yeah? And so at that time, you know, to be a brahmachari for a whole year were like something, you know. But he didn't expect what were, you know, somehow or other they needed a leader. They needed a temple president. And so everybody voted him as temple president. And he was completely, you know, he just felt, what can I do? I've only been around here. And but he had to accept it because they all pushed him. And so he wrote to Prabhupada. He said, I don't know what to do, Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada wrote back and said, that's good. He said, you think the whole project will flop unless Krishna steps in. And actually, that's how things work. When we feel completely helpless, we can do something. When we think we're the man or we're the girl, you know, that's when everything goes pear-shaped. So you're all right, you're in good situation.
Thank you very much.
Okay, anything else?
Thank you for the class. Earlier you were mentioning about attachments, and even after so many years of practice, these attachments it's not going away. And you mentioned how we have to care for ourselves or care for these attachments and kind of, I guess, be more loving to ourselves. Is that
what? Say more about attachment.
Yeah, you were saying that we should, I didn't spare, maybe, we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves, we should be more loving in one sense. Is that what you meant? And what I mean to say is
we don't like it that we're conditioned, but we accept who we are. You know, we accept that this is here. Why should I keep beating myself up for something I can't deal with straight away? Because if we'll, you know, the point is, if we keep practicing strongly and we still get caught up in Maya sometimes, we'll suffer. And Krishna's telling the devotee, you'll suffer, but be happy, because you actually, if you just carry on practicing in an enthusiastic way, just be happy that I'm on the right track. I'm happy that the goal's here. Then, you know, this is a healthy mood. It says if you carry on like that, then everything, you'll overcome everything. So there's no need to be morose in any situation, he's saying. You know, we're aware of it and we're working at it, but get on with your devotional service and be happy that you've got this opportunity and the association of devotees.
Kind of like, so when you're sick, you're taking the medicine, but it may not be working straight away, but over time, as you take the medicine, at least you're on the treatment plan.
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, okay.
It's working. Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.
His Holiness Dayananda Maharaj.